B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Everybody, welcome in. Felger Maz here on Thursday, November 7th from our Town Fair Tire Studios at the beautiful Beasley Media Group in Dorchester. Maz,
Murray. Hi, how are you?
Guy.
Hello.
Hi. Want to start off talking some Patriots?
Sure.
Okay. And something just following up on something Murray said yesterday. Do you think N'Keal Harry's a bust? Do you worry that N'Keal Harry's a bust?
Sure. Yeah. I know, that was really definitive, wasn't it? So here's my point. With the Patriots, anytime they draft a receiver, yes, I'm worried he's a bust. Yes.
What is it with the Patriots and receivers?
You got me.
They have a definite issue, don't they?
Yeah. I mean, I have a theory on it if you want to hear it.
What's your theory?
The farther you get away from the ball, the more it's about talent, raw ability, and athleticism than it is about coaching. And Bill Belichick, you know, knows how to coach guys and can coach them up. But when you get out to that area, it's really about ability, and they have as much trouble identifying it or more as anyone else does, or they're unwilling to go to those places because they deem those guys to be uncoachable. But I don't think it's a coincidence that for a large chunk of his career, corner and wide receiver have been problem spots.
So I want to start with N'Keal Harry and the receiving situation on the Patriots, okay? That's a broad topic, and I just think we've been at this now for 20 freaking years with Belichick and Brady. And I think it's pretty clear. And so we can sort of figure out, say, who to assess the blame to. But something ain't right when it comes to that position and young players. Something's not right. Something's not functional.
With all that talent usually comes a bit of an attitude, right? Like that or cornerback. That's typically where you get your biggest divas in the NFL. And I don't think that's something that Belichick wants to deal with. So he looks for guys that might be a little bit more malleable. And a lot of times those guys might have an injury history. Like, so he hit on Malcolm Mitchell, but that guy had a knee issue coming out of college and unfortunately caught up to him, you know, way faster than probably anybody thought. But other than that, like, who's he really hit on? I know people want to say Julian Edelman, but he was a seventh-round draft pick who was a quarterback, and they made him into a wide receiver. So, okay, good job there. He was malleable. You coached him up. You made that happen. But outside of that, like, it's just been whiff after whiff after whiff after whiff at this position.
So you think it's mostly Bill?
I do. I really do. I tend to believe that he doesn't want to deal with guys that probably will come with that kind of an attitude. Like, because it's, you can coach up that position for a guy that has some ability. Obviously, again, look at Edelman. He's helped to turn him into who he is. But guys that just have the raw ability, or Julio Jones, like, you know, you're going to get an attitude right out of the gate with someone like that. Maybe it's the older he gets, that's something he didn't want to deal with.
I mean, I also think, you know, and again, I would love your take on this, but I also think the slot's different. I just think it's not, I don't want to say a true receiver position, but, you know, there's a huge difference to me between a guy that plays between the hashes and is, you know, just running a quick option routes and quick throws versus a guy on the outside.
Those guys are barely drafted. Troy Brown was an eighth round pick. He wouldn't be drafted if he were in the draft today. Julian Edelman was a seventh round draft pick as a quarterback. What was Welker? Was Welker even drafted?
I don't know. But see, this is my point, is that like those guys are really a product of the offense. And like, and you can find a little guy to run around in there and just find an opening and a quarterback to get him the ball. And I'm not minimizing what Edelman is. Don't get me wrong. He's good at it. Some guys are really good at it. Some guys aren't. But the outside receiver thing is different. I just think it's different. And it's more about...
Sorry, why can't they draft, develop, find young outside receivers?
I don't know.
It's been 20 years. They can't do
right.
It.
It's unbelievable.
Or, you know,
can I answer this?
I once famously said they'll never draft a good tight end when they drafted Rob Gronkowski. So I want to sort of amend, say that they can't do it. They haven't done it. Okay. Past tense. They haven't done it.
Yeah.
For a long, long time.
So, and I would even tell you, and again, now I'm shaping the narrative to fit my argument, but a tight end generally plays between the hashes, right? So, like, again, it's a position where, now it took them a while, but they've had some decent players there, even beyond Gronk. They had a few decent ones. And receiver? It is suck bag city, man. What? It is one suck bag after the next. You're talking a population overflow in suck bag city.
What's your theory, Stu?
It's the quarterback. It's Tom Brady. They get all these receivers, and they have to adapt to Brady. They have to adapt to the quarterback because Brady has all the answers to the test, and he's not willing to adjust to what the strengths of another receiver or tight end are. That's what it is.
This is kind of what I'm driving at. Brady's got to be a part of the story.
Maybe, but again,
he has to be. He has to be.
I mean, we're going back again. You're saying all 20 years. So we're going back to when, you know, Brady was willing to work with just about anybody.
Murray raises a good point. The problem existed before Brady became a diva.
Mm. It did.
Mm.
I don't know.
Did it work with Moss?
I mean, I was there. Okay, a veteran player.
Okay, but again,
we're talking about drafted and developed young receivers. I was there when Deion Branch and David Givens came along. And Tom Brady didn't shut anybody out. That was perfect.
So, aren't those two players, though, with the type of personality that are going to adapt to Tom Brady and what he does well?
I think Tom had a different personality then. He definitely did. This is your point, Jimmy. It's not. If Deion Branch came along today, I don't know. I don't know if Brady would work with him. Jacoby Myers feels to me has all those intangibles, and Brady barely looks at him. By the way, there was a time when Brady showed up in the offseason to work with the guys. Now he doesn't.
No, it's a good point. I mean, I think
he's definitely changed. There's no question about that. And proof to this, I was telling you guys like last week, I've just fallen down this vortex recently of watching old games on YouTube because I'm a loser. And I was watching the 0-3 game against the Colts. Do you remember Dedrick Ward? Dedrick Ward was on that team, and they're talking about him like, oh, he just joined the team this week. And Brady was saying he immediately loved working with him. And I'm like, that would never happen. Granted, that's 15 years ago, but it's like, boys, he changed.
Some of this is on the quarterback. I don't know how much. 30%, 60%, 10%. We can debate the percentage. Some of it's on Brady. And it's not talked about enough. And one of the jumping off points here is Gasper writes in the Globe today, it's too late for Harry to catch on. N'Keal Harry, already done. Forget about it. It's like Chris is doing Brady's work. You're out.
Huh.
Out. Don't even think, too late for Harry to catch on is the headline on Gasper's column. And Gasper doesn't write the headlines. Not his fault for the headline. But he does write, history says it's time to concede, Maz, that any notable contribution the Patriots get from Harry would be viewed as gravy. Harry has too much catching up to do to catch on as a reliable option in a passing attack searching for more of them. He says only one rookie has ever caught more than 40 passes in a season during the Belichick-Brady era. Only think of that. We've been at this now for 20 years, and only one rookie caught 40 passes or more, and that was my guy Branch. That was Branch in 2002. Only four have topped 400 yards. Branch did in 2002, and then as did Kembrell Tompkins, Aaron Dobson, and Malcolm Mitchell, as Murray just mentioned. He says, though, the Dobson and Tompkins seasons, though, pretty much deserve an asterisk, or it was... It was by default that Wes Welker had been shown the door. Danny Amendola hadn't caught on, and so there was nothing else to do other than to throw those guys. But at least Brady did. I get the feeling a lot has changed even since 2013, where if it was Kembrell Tompkins and Aaron Dobson and whatever, we'd be hearing about, Brady's not surrounded by anything, and, Brady would be sending passive-aggressive little shots at these guys at his press conferences. I mean, I even think he's different than 2013.
Oh, he's definitely different. I mean, again, there's no question Brady's a different guy. And, look, I'll tell you what, let's just, for an instant, keep Harry out of it. Talk just about Myers. Myers plays on the inside. That should be an easy one for Brady, shouldn't it? Like, again, I do think there's a distinction between the guys on the inside and the outside. But if we're talking just about rookies, Myers should be Brady's kind of guy. He really should.
Traditionally, writes Gasper, wide receiver has been the rare Belichick blind spot in the draft. He says DK Metcalf of Seattle's making an immediate impact. Metcalf and Washington's Terry McLaurin have been rookie receiver revelations. A.J. Brown of Tennessee and Mecole Hardman of Kansas City have also excelled. All were taken after Harry.
And if you look at that second round of wide receivers from this past year's draft, they pretty much all are producing.
I mean, if you want to play this game, and Murray played it, and he put together a pretty extensive list there of guys, if you include 2018, when they drafted Wynn and Michelle, and then this year when they took N'Keal Harry and who they passed on at receiver in the draft, it's a pretty substantial list. What'd you come up with, Murray?
Do you have it in front of you? Because I'm having an issue trying to log on here. It's just it really came down to this.
No, I do have it in front of me.
Yeah, I mean, this year, out of 28 wide receivers that were drafted, 17 are producing. And if you look at that 17, I would say a good 14 are really putting up decent numbers. And most of them came in that second and third round. And then you go back to last year, the guy that went in between, it's a name just because I watch a bit of college football, Calvin Ridley out of Alabama, who went in between Isaiah Wynn and Sony Michel. Like, he would have been a perfect fit in this offense. And he, although the Falcons suck this year, he's still putting up ridiculous numbers, and he has since he's come into the league. Like, it's just, it's further proof they don't know how to assess it, or they just think there might be a, I don't know, the player might be a diva because, you know, he's such a talented wide receiver at a big school. I don't know, but I can't understand why they keep missing. And even when guys that have produced really well when they come into the league going back a few more years in the draft, when they drop someone like Stephon Diggs, who went in the fifth round, at that point, are they just, you know, wide receivers off the board? They're not looking at that position. Like, I just, I don't understand how the greatest coach of all time can't assess this position over 20 years when you so desperately need wide receivers in the last two or three years. They just keep missing.
Okay, so I think you start with Bill, but I think people are leaving out the second piece, which is even if Bill drafted, even if he drafted, you know, you name it, DK Metcalf or the Calvin Ridley kid last year, would Brady look at him?
No.
Would Brady give the kid the time of the day? Would Brady work with him in the offseason to get him up to speed? Let's not leave Brady out of this conversation.
No, and I agree that he is part B of it now. I think it started with Bill. It starts with Bill. And then Brady's become a problem increasingly as the years have gone on. I feel like with receivers sometimes, they try to force these guys into their system instead of just playing to their abilities and strengths. You know, to a degree, they you know, I don't know, I think they did that with Gordon a little bit. And then they finally simplified the thing and they started getting something out of him. So, you know, and I mentioned him just because he was new, right? And I know he was a veteran guy. But I feel like they try to force you to do it. And again, it becomes less about the player's athleticism than it does about him fitting into the operation.
Vinny just put some of these numbers up on the simulcast, but Calvin Ridley has 14 touchdowns already for Atlanta. And Cortland Sutton in Denver has 8 touchdowns. And Dante Pettis in San Francisco, who isn't a world beater but is a functional receiver, has 7 already. And then you look at the guys this year. Again, it was N'Keal over Harry over DK Metcalf. And, you know, I mean, there's just a million examples. And so something's being missed there. Something's not right. And I'm more than happy to say Bill's drafting the wrong guy at that position. That's fine. Let's not leave out the second part of the story. Even if he drafted the right guy, is Brady going to put in the time with that kid and give him the time of day and show him the trust and have a functional working relationship, even if they do draft the right guy?
I mean, not anymore.
It doesn't feel like it to me.
No, not anymore.
I mean, I don't know. I think if he passed the eyeball test and it's up to Brady's standard, you know, he looks like he's you know, a professional ready receiver, something like that. Yeah, I think he'd be willing to work with him.
I don't.
I just think it's because this kid is so behind and he's missed so much time because of this injury. Brady's now like, yeah, screw it. And that's on Tom. Like, that's terrible. You need help. You need to work this kid in.
I think Brady's just reached the point where he's impatient about it and says, if it's not instant, forget it.
And I'm not talking about like receivers drafted high or even guys drafted ahead of where you were picking. I you know, you don't have to trade up to draft. You know, Marquise Brown went 25 last year, right? You took N'Keal Harry at 32. Hollywood Brown went 25. I'm not going to blast him for not trading up. So, you know, but if you just look at the guys drafted behind him the last couple of years, they haven't backed into like, you'd think over 20 years you'd back into something.
Right.
You know, you would just, because this happens all the time, you just get lucky. There's you know, Scantling, the kid in Green Bay, drafted, you know, way down lower. You know, there's just like a ton of examples. They haven't backed into anything.
No, and look, again.
And are you telling me that's all Bill? That they've been that unlucky? Or does Brady look at some sixth-round, fifth-round receiver and go, pfft, this ain't happening?
No, I think as the years have gone on, Brady's become more of a factor. Mike, again, use Myers. When Myers was on the field with Stidham in the preseason, how did it look?
Fine with me.
Pretty good, right?
Yep.
When he's out there with Brady, how does it look?
Okay, this topic. To your calls right after this.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Getting N'Keal Harry back, Patriots fans saw him briefly in the preseason and saw a lot of promise, but just getting him back into the offense, what's that like for you?
Missed a lot of football, missed a lot of training camp, missed 8 regular season games. So, you know, he's just got to try to work at it every day. It's going to be up to him to, you know, put the effort in and to, you know, everyone's there to help him, but you know, you got to go out there and you got to do it and earn it and earn the trust of your teammates and coaches and stuff. So it's good to have him out there.
So again, that comment was last Friday. Just setting him up for the standard little nice thing to say about an important guy, rookie receiver coming back. And Brady's answer is he hasn't been here for 8 weeks.
Missed a lot of football, missed a lot of training camp, missed 8 regular season games. So
that's his show of confidence. You know, and Gasper wrote about this too. Brady was further prodded to give Harry some sort of imprimatur, some sort of encouragement. What does that word mean?
Who knows?
Some sort of positive statement. He tacitly declined, said Gasper. When asked about working with veteran newcomer Mohamed Sanu, Brady perked up, saying the two were on a roll. So
that comment, though, again, I hear it,
it gets worse. Football, missed a lot of training camp, missed 8 regular season games. So
stop it there. So he can go F himself. That's how he should finish that. Missed a lot of football, missed the training camp, missed 8 weeks. Go F yourself.
Okay, so look,
I'm out there.
Maybe Bill drafted the wrong guy again. Maybe N'Keal Harry has bad work ethic and isn't putting in the work, and they're all down on him. So that maybe that's Bill's fault. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe he has put in the work, but Brady looks at the kid and says, you don't know where to go, and, you know, screw you. Or maybe it's Brady. Frankly, we'll play the blame game. And I'm fine wherever it falls. Bill, Brady, somewhere in between. Let's slice up the pie however you want. Something's not right. Something's not right where you draft a guy in the first round who's got all that ability. You desperately need receivers. He's ready to go. And not just Gasper, but pretty much the consensus is, yeah, you're not going to get anything out of this guy.
I mean, it really.
Because it ain't going to work here. So, something ain't right.
Yeah. Now, look, to go back to your original question quickly, it's too early to call him a bust. Okay, he's hurt. He missed half the season.
Murray?
Oh, no, it's not. No. If you look at the production you're already getting from picks after him in this year's draft and picks that they could have taken at wide receiver in last year's draft, it's not. It's a position that guys come in and immediately can help out their team, even in later drafts. That guy you left at Clemson, Hunter Renfrow, who got taken in the fifth round, who would have been a perfect fit in this team on this team this year. You know, he's already got, I think, a couple of touchdowns and 24 receptions already. That's another guy you could have had. There's guys after Harry that are already producing. Bust. He's a bust. And I'll keep saying, you know what? I'll say it as prodding motivation. Maybe he hears it. Maybe they'll hear it, and they'll try to get him out in the field and force him into the offense. Because until further notice, bust. Bust. With a capital B. Bust.
He's not a bust. He's not a bust. A bust is a guy you get nothing out of over 4 years. You are very little.
It ain't too early to say it.
No,
wide receivers are plug and play.
Of course it is. It's too early.
It's too early.
He hasn't even been on the field yet, for crying out loud. We don't know. But I don't think it's wrong to look at Brady now. So if you want to tell me that the problem has changed over the years, but it's still a problem, that I agree with. I think it started out with Bill being a problem, and now it's Bill and Brady, and it might be more Brady now than Bill.
Here's all I know. The draft's an exact science, so you're allowed to miss on a receiver. There's plenty of receivers drafted in the first and second round the last couple of years who haven't done anything. They're the wrong pick. So that happens. I'm not like jumping on them for a singular miss at the draft or a singular rookie player, young player that's not panning out. But when nothing comes through over 20 years, that's what I'm talking about.
Sure, of course.
I'm talking about, so 20 years is a little strong. It's more like 17, you know, since Deion Branch and David Givens, where you haven't had a young rookie receiver actually really do something for you. Now going on 17 years, there's something wrong. There's something wrong somewhere.
Well, you think 17 years is a big sample?
This is my point. The sample is in. Something when it comes to that position, certainly not overall because they're the greatest of all time, but at that position, something ain't right.
You know, and that comment from Brady, I'm sorry to keep harping on this comment. That comment is unbelievable. It really is. Murray's right. And you know what? Even the end of it, you got to earn everything you get. Like that line. What a dink comment that is. Really? Like what? So now Brady thinks he's a bum? He's not trying hard enough or working hard enough? You got to earn it? Like, I don't know. He just feels like he's playing daddy, wagging his finger in everybody's face.
Okay.
Like, if you're not going to earn it, you're not going to get it.
Your calls, as promised. Mike and Peabody, lead us off.
It's borderline insubordination. It's got to be at this point. I mean, Bill doesn't deserve any blame. Well, I mean, let's just say he deserves a little blame. What more can Bill do? He's drafted guys high. He's drafted guys low. He's brought in crap bags over the, you know, the past couple seasons. He's done what he's brought in Antonio Brown. He's done everything for Tom. Tom can't build a rapport with anybody because nobody's good for Tom. Nobody's good enough for Tom because Tom won't put in the work.
Okay, so
what more can Bill do?
So, but has he drafted high? I mean, that's just Nikhil Harry's the first receiver they drafted in the first round since he got here in 2000. Mm-hmm. Now, that is a 20-year sample. So he's only done that once. So I think it's debatable to say whether they've drafted anybody high. I mean, just go through the years. Last year, okay, Harry in the first round. There it is. The year before, Baxton Berrios, sixth round. 2017, they didn't draft a receiver. 2016, Malcolm Mitchell came in the fourth round. They actually kind of hit on that, but the injury thing caught up to him. They also drafted Devin Lucien in the seventh round. In 2015, they did not draft a wide receiver. In 2014, I'm just going backwards here, they drafted something named Jeremy Gallen in the seventh round. Remember him?
Barely.
No, I don't either. In 2013, they drafted Aaron Dobson in the second and Josh Boyce in the fourth. So
bust.
I mean, going back 6-7 years here, they've taken one guy in the first round, a couple in the second, and a couple in the fourth. And that's it. Is that drafting high at the position? I mean,
well, I would say anything fourth or higher is a decent resource. So,
Boyce, Dobson, Mitchell, Harry. Those are the four guys since 2013 they've drafted in the first and second round. Is that enough?
No.
I mean,
Wait a minute. When you say is it enough, it's enough to hit on them, one or two of them.
I mean, right. Can one come through?
Yeah, and now in the case of Mitchell's a little bit of a gray area because when Mitchell was out there, he was functional for them. He gave him a little bit, but he just wasn't out there enough. So at the end of the day, if you ask me, did Mitchell work out? My answer is no. He gave him something at a key spot, particularly in the Super Bowl against Atlanta. But there was never a time where we thought Malcolm Mitchell was a consistent option. Never. So my answer would be no.
Ryan in New Hampshire, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, if we look back at the draft, I mean, Keller Price, you know, was a third round at 10. I mean, he was out of the league in 3 years. 2011, no wide receivers. 12, a seventh round pick that never played in the NFL.
Jeremy Ebert, right?
Yeah, I mean, if you just look at it, I mean, what guy have they looked at in the draft has gone anywhere in the NFL outside of New England, done anything? They're all out of the league in 2 or 3 years. So, I mean, you got to take a look at Bill for that.
It's true. So he drafts bum after bum after bum? Or, I mean, I'm willing to go with that. But what if Brady was better with younger players?
Well, that's a factor now.
And then what if, so what if instead of, you know, just ignoring Jacoby Myers or, you know, not looking in his direction, he actually invested in the young player and believed in the young player and encouraged the young player and was there. Would you be getting more out of that young player? And does a draft bust suddenly become a success? I mean, I don't know. I just, something ain't right when you go 17 years without having a good young outside receiver drafted and developed by this team.
Look, when it comes to the young receiver thing, and again, I think Myers is a great test case right now because when he's been out there with Stidham, he looks like a different player. And I think that Brady's a bully. I think that when it comes to cultivating the young talent, he's a bully and he shakes their confidence and that makes it worse. So that's just my 2 cents. Now, again, Brady's Brady, can do whatever the hell he wants. Okay. But the fact of the matter is when it comes to the young receivers, he's like an overbearing father. He just makes it worse.
Who's the guy that went to Cincinnati and is still there? And
Brandon Tate.
And actually, you know, a functional NFL player.
Yeah, but he's more of a kick returner.
He's not really a factor in the offense?
I don't think so. I'd have to look up his receiving numbers. But even here, Tate was a good kick returner. good kick returner.
I'm just trying to. When was he drafted? I thought he was right around that. Yeah, he was. He was 2009. Taken in the third round in 2009. Okay, he's still in the league. Now this was a different time with Brady. So, but I don't know, what could Brandon Tate have been more if the quarterback worked with him more, into as opposed to shutting him out when it, you know, he didn't run the right way.
Maybe.
I mean, I don't know. I think it's a mistake to put it all on Bill and saying he's not drafting anybody. I think that's a mistake, because I think it's clear Brady isn't exactly welcoming of these young guys, isn't exactly patient with these young guys. I know he doesn't put in the work in the offseason with these guys anymore. So I just think it's unfair to say it's all on Bill that he can't draft at that position. I don't know if he's got a quarterback that's cooperating with him. More of your thoughts on this, and is N'Keal Harry already done? Right after Murray.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub, and streaming anywhere you go, on the Sports Hub app.
I mean, I just quickly put it together. Since they drafted Deion Branch and David Givens in 2002, 17 years ago, okay, here are the players they've drafted at receiver. Tell me if any of them can play. Ready? 2003, Bethel Johnson, second round.
No.
Oh, he sucked. 2004, P.K. Sam, fifth round.
No.
Bum.
2006, Chad Jackson, second round.
Sucked.
2008, Matt Slater.
No.
Well.
Not as a receiver, no.
2009, Julian Edelman, seventh round.
Yes.
Yeah.
They got lucky.
Brandon Tate, third round.
No.
2010, Taylor Price.
No.
2011, none. 2012, Jeremy Ebert.
No.
Again, who?
Yep. Seventh round. 2013, Josh Boyce.
No.
No.
2013, Aaron Dobson.
No.
2014, Jeremy Gowan.
No.
2016, Devin Lucien.
No.
2016, Malcolm Mitchell.
Yeah, sort of, yeah.
Yeah, but he was an injury risk, and but he did pay off.
2018, Braxton Berrios.
No.
No.
2019, N'Keal Harry.
Don't know.
No.
And it's just one bag of suck after the next.
Yep, it is. I told you, suck bag city.
The only real hit was Julian Edelman, and that's he was a quarterback. He was a quarterback.
Total flyer. And even then with Edelman, like, you know.
You didn't need to draft. I mean, whatever. I'm fine. I mean, I'll give it to you, but, like, yeah, I really shouldn't.
And then they even let him shop around in free agency, for crying out loud.
Okay, and like, he's,
you know, and but anyway.
He's an inside guy to boot. So, outside receivers. Not a single one.
No.
And it's not like any of these guys went to any other teams and actually produced. So that's why I ultimately put more of it on Belichick, because he's the one that's the head of player development and should be able to read this. And if he got it right and it just was more about Brady, then those guys would have went to another team and produced. And they never did.
I'm just, you know, at some point you got to back into one, don't you?
You would think. He doesn't value the position. He doesn't. And I know that's an odd thing to say after he spends a first-round pick on it, but we've gotten to this stage. It took him 20 years.
Okay, Sean in Vermont, you agree with that? Belichick doesn't value that position.
Yeah, Maz just stole my take right before my call, but listen, I just don't think he values it. I think because young stud receivers get paid, man. If you produce on that first contract, you are in line for millions. And I think philosophy-wise, he just doesn't – he would rather put $6 million into a guy like Sanu, you know, a veteran that Tom Brady will actually throw to since he's a big diva.
So, I mean, so he intentionally drafts crappy players. This is back to the thing that Bill – this, you know, even Bill's failures are actually calculated.
Oh, yeah. No, he does it on purpose.
I mean – caller, you know that if left tackles are good, they're like the second or third highest paid position on the football field?
Right.
So he just drafted one of those. So, like, you know, there's no savings on a left tackle versus a wide receiver. They get paid roughly the same.
Right. But again, this comes back to valuing the position to the operation, right? Independent of what the money is, you look at it and say, do we really need that? Or is that just, as you would say, a hood ornament? And he looks at that and goes, eh, those guys aren't that important in winning. So he writes it off.
And you know what? I kind of agree with him.
Okay, but again, but there's a line there.
There's a line where over 17 years, you got to pick one guy.
So you want to tell me that you don't need A.J. Green? Fine. You're telling me you can't use a guy on the outside that can catch 60 balls, whether it's Brandon LaFell or someone of the like?
I'm with you.
That guy cannot be used?
I'm with you. Eddie in the car, your thoughts.
So, guys, I think I'm trying to take a Bill Belichick look at this. And I think he just thinks that the wide receiver is being phased out and is a more disposable position like the running backs. And he's taking advantage of Brady's capability to work with whatever he has. Because it's on paper, it shows Brady's completion percentage gets better as the score against him gets higher. So that tells me what work with anybody he's got on the field to win that game if he's behind.
Okay, so something like that. Like all the players are disposable to him. All the players are interchangeable and just cogs in his system. Yeah, I get it. But he still drafted and developed good players at pretty much every position except for this one.
Yeah, it's true.
So even though he, I mean, caller, I mean, you're kind of right, but I think he feels that way about all of them. You know, maybe with the exception of Brady, but who knows? I think he thinks he could win with another quarterback too.
Oh, so do I.
But so be that as it may, he's still, you know, he's had trouble at corner, but he's had some good ones. And he's had trouble at other positions, but he's at least over the 20 years he's been here, backed into a couple of good ones.
Okay, so at corner, who were his good ones?
So Asante Samuel was a good one.
So Samuel, yeah. Samuel, I'll give you.
Samuel was, you know, definitely a good one. Drafted, developed the whole nine.
Technically, so, Devin McCourty, too, when they made him into a safety. But that first year, he was good at corner.
Yeah, he got worse.
Ultimately, he paid off.
He was good at corner and then sucked at corner. That's why he's a safety now.
Yeah, so that's a hit.
He fell off. But, I mean, look, he identified Stephon Gilmore. I mean, I'm going to give him all the credit in the world for that one.
Right, but again, free agent.
Yeah, but not.
So, and he paid for it.
Yes. But
I'm just talking about, no, he did. He identified him. I'm not saying he didn't. But at the same time, then, you know, sign Julio Jones. Like, okay, like, we get it. So I just think there's something out. Like,
Logan Ryan.
Yeah, pretty good.
Good, functional NFL corner drafted in the third round. That was a hit. And yeah. I'm not telling you he's like a Hall of Fame or anything, but that's a legit, solid outside corner.
Yeah, Ryan's a good one.
So, I mean, so at least he's had a couple.
He's backed into a couple.
Hey, Malcolm Butler, he backed into.
He backed into Malcolm Butler, not drafted, but, you know, he hasn't backed into squad at receiver. How come they can't back into anything?
It is. It's unbelievable.
I just think, what was the thing in 2011 with when he called Thomas Dimitrov and told him to take, was it Jonathan Baldwin over Julio Jones? Like, that to me speaks of a guy that can't assess that position correctly. Like, how do you, Jonathan Baldwin over Julio Jones? If one of your eyes works, you know that Julio Jones coming out of Alabama was going to be a better wide receiver than Jonathan Baldwin.
I mean, that's a classic case of just not valuing the talent. And he looks at it and says, nope, fuse is in a fuse box, man. And I just think there is something to be said for that whole idea that the farther away you get out there, the more you're on an island, and it's about athleticism and the ability to just make a play.
You know, drafting's hard. Everyone hits, everyone misses. So, to, you know, pile on one individual pick, N'Keal Harry, maybe they missed. But over 17 years, can there just be one? I mean, this year, again, Mecole Hardman, DK Metcalf. That's the one everyone points to. DK Metcalf in Seattle. Taking 32 picks after N'Keal Harry. Terry McLaurin with Washington. A.J. Brown in Tennessee's had production. And if you want to go to last year, all the guys they passed on for the running back, I mean, that list is really long.
And it's Darius Slayton that went in the fifth round of the Giants this year is having a good year so far.
So, and then there's also this thing about catching up with Brady. Brady's been in the system for 20 years, and a kid walks in with 1 year of experience. So how do you expect him to catch up? I want to hit on that, actually, right after these words in our long commercial-free segment.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, it's
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
I'm sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
He can run a vertical route, he can run a comeback, and he may be able to run a post. That's Metcalf. Metcalf's a three route runner. Now, all you fantasy players at home, if you like that, if you got those three routes in your offense, God bless you, take them. But you're going to have to run some option routes. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to run some in cuts. You're going to have to run some snags. You got to run a tree to be a really good receiver. To me, the kid, Keneal Harry.
Keneal Harry, yeah.
Now, to me, that's a legitimate receiver.
Right.
That guy can play anywhere on the field. He can play F inside. He can play X outside. He can go inside the catch. And when the ball's in his hands, he's a beast. He's a freaking beast. He can go get it. Now, everybody has him going late one, early two. Okay, great. You take Metcalf before him, you're an idiot. You're an idiot.
So, Michael Lombardi, really in the Belichick Bobo tree of trust, way up there. His kid works for the team now. Mike Lombardi, that was his pre-draft assessment. And again, this is why, you know, you're much better off when it comes to pre-draft assessment, standing with a draft magazine on one side of the room and letting Murray and Maz check markers at you to determine who you should take. Like, this is why we do the whole Felger-Maz big board, because all pre-draft analysis is freaking stupid.
Of course, we hit N'Keal Harry.
Yeah, right. We got Harry. But no one knows. So, like, I that's a qualifier, not to jump down Michael Lombardi's throat. But that was the Patriots, because Lombardi's thinking is the Patriots' thinking. Like, the Bill's hand is almost literally up his shirt. Not just figuratively. I'd say it's just about up his shirt. So that's how the Patriots felt about DK Metcalf. Can't run a route tree. And, you know, I like the take because he gets a shot at fantasy. But, you know, it's just, if you think DK Metcalf is better than N'Keal Harry, you're just a fantasy bobo, baby.
All you fantasy players at home, if you like that, if you got those three routes in your offense, God bless you, take them.
Love it. Blast of fantasy players. But whoops. DK Metcalf played all nine games in Seattle. 29 grabs, 5 touchdowns, has become their lead target pretty much there. N'Keal Harry hasn't seen the field, and the quarterback hates him.
You're an idiot. You're an idiot.
And there's this whole thing now, you know, and this, I hear this, you know, Gasper wrote about this too as well. And I think we talk about things here that people elsewhere don't talk about. You know, for example, Gasper writes, it's not a coincidence that the rookie receiver to enjoy the most success with Brady was Deion Branch in 2002. That was Brady's first full season as the expected starter. Brady was closer in age and knowledge to Branch than subsequent rookies. Now, after 20 years with the Patriots, the knowledge gap between Brady and his trainees is a yawning chasm. It's like missing nearly an entire semester of calculus and then being asked to take the final. Brady's brain is the real Patriots offensive playbook. So this whole thing, and it's true, is that Brady is conversant in Mandarin Chinese, and these guys walk in here for the first day and they don't speak a lick of the language, and it's like, what?
Oh, it's pig Latin.
Okay. And so, like, that I get. Except I just spent 2 minutes on this today, a quick sample. You know, Brady's hardly the only old quarterback in the league who's been in his playbook for a while. I mean, for example, when Michael Thomas got to New Orleans a couple years ago as a rookie, you don't think Drew Brees was doing calculus?
It's a great one.
And this kid just walked in not knowing how to add two and two together, and it seemed to me that Michael Thomas, rookie year, 92 grabs, 9 touchdowns, 1,100 yards. How come in New Orleans we weren't talking about the quarterback speaking calculus in Mandarin Chinese and the kid just skipping half a semester? We didn't talk about that.
How about, go ahead. I'm sure you have others there.
Ben Roethlisberger.
Juju
Smith-Schuster. Walks in 2017, 58 grabs and only 7 starts with 7 touchdowns. By the second year, he's catching 111 balls. Ben Roethlisberger's been in that playbook and in that system, and I know they've had different offensive coordinators, but Ben Roethlisberger's been there a long time, an established quarterback. A kid walks in, and he throws to him.
Yeah, and I just looked it up. The Steelers haven't spent that much money more resources at wide receiver than you have. They've taken 19 picks over the period that the Patriots have taken 15.
Phillip Rivers, been in San Diego with the Chargers forever. Keenan Allen walks in. There was a third-round pick a couple years ago. More than a couple. It was 2013. 71 grabs, 1,000 yards, 8 touchdowns. How come we weren't sitting there in San Diego saying, well, Phillip Rivers is so far ahead of this Keenan Allen kid, he can't possibly get up to speed, can he? And again, I'm not telling you I want any of these quarterbacks over Brady. I'm just saying we talk about things here that I don't think are talked about elsewhere. Eli Manning. Even Eli. I don't think he's the sharpest knife in the drawer. Or maybe that's why, maybe actually. But Sterling Shepard walks in as a second round pick in 2016, 65 catches, had 105 targets, 8 touchdowns. They throw to him, no issue. Never mind Odell Beckham, who lights it up as a rookie a couple years before in 2014. So all those guys, and I'm just giving you established quarterbacks who've been in the league a long time, probably been in their playbook and their system a long time, and a rookie receiver walks in, and no one there is talking about he's speaking a different language, he's way behind the quarterback, you know, the offense is in his head. No, it's like, but here for some reason we talk about these things. It's a here issue. It's not an everywhere issue. I'm not telling you every young receiver works out. Of course they don't. But I don't know. I think these things have taken hold here, and they don't exist elsewhere in the league.
You look, again, what it all does is amplifies Brady's role in it.
Does any young receiver here even have a chance, even if they pick the wrong guy? They've done nothing but pick the wrong guy. But even if they pick the right one, does he stand a chance?
Not anymore. I mean, I think there was a time when he did, but not anymore. Again, really, the last couple of years, it feels like it's gotten exponentially worse. Like, you know, it got bad there whenever it did. You know, again, Murray said 2013. I think it was probably a little before that. But anyway, it started to get bad. In the last couple of years, it's gotten way worse. Way worse.
Okay, and we're already writing off N'Keal Harry. Steve in Boston. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, guys. The reason why the Patriots have such a bad problem with young receivers is because Tom is looking for old receivers, because he can make an old receiver look good. And when he makes an old receiver look good, he can sell him, hey, look, the TB12 method made this guy look good. Because you remember, the first 2 days since Brown got here, what was he doing? He was doing those hit ads of, like, those videos of the TB12 method. I'm on the TB12 method with Guerrero doing the massages. That's all Tom cares about.
Okay. Little strong, but there was in the Wickersham story, you know, young receivers and new receivers here felt they had to go to TB12 to get Brady to look at them. And that was one of the things they were worried about. If they didn't use Alex, that Brady would shut him out. I mean, I don't know how big of a factor that is. But Antonio Brown did get his tush right there to TB12 immediately the first week he was here. Smart man when it comes to that anyway.
Oh, yeah. Look, again, I mean, there's pressure there. I just think Brady puts so much pressure on these guys, and I'm going back to the young ones now. It's hard to function with that. Like, again, you're coming in, you're intimidated enough as it is because you're operating with the greatest quarterback in the history of the game. And then you make a mistake, and he's hollering at you, and he won't get you the ball anymore?
So, and never mind Bill picking the wrong guy every year. So there's somewhere in between, something ain't right. Where you go 17 years without drafting and developing and having a good young outside receiver that you've brought along, something ain't working when it comes to that. Just, I mean, it's obviously working there overall. So I guess you could say, who cares? But if you care about the receiver thing, and I think the Brady people do care about the receiver thing, there's something ain't right.
Well, I think at some point you do have to care, especially in a year like this. Because, you know, it's all related. They have to win differently now, which means every completion counts.
Okay, we'll continue with your thoughts on this. I do want to mix in a Red Sox minute. I do want to mix in a couple of NBA things as well this hour. We'll do all of that after Murray's 90-second update. There are no commercials, and we're right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.